Johnson said, a beatific, and that's his word, not mine, glow immediately spread over Breckinridge's face. He came alive. And in the ensuing discussions, Breckinridge was on the edge of his seat, very much involved in what everyone was saying, full of ideas and observations, eloquent, gentlemanly. Toward the end of the meeting, Sherman, again, this is Johnston's account, absentmindedly got up, wandered over to his saddlebags, pulled out the bottle. Johnson said Breckinridge's eyes lit up again, but this time Sherman sort of absentmindedly took a drink, took a swig, and put the bottle back without offering it to anybody, the flask. Johnston said Breckinridge's expression went from expectation to uncertainty to disgust and finally deep depression. He was silent for the rest of the meeting. And after the meeting, when the generals broke up, these terms were the ones that Grant had offered Lee, so they're generous terms. As they were walking out, Johnston asked Breckinridge what he thought of Sherman. Breckinridge said, Sherman's a bright man and a man of great force. But, he said with his voice rising, according to Johnston, General Sherman is a hog. Yes, sir, he is a hog. Did you see him take that drink by himself? No Kentucky gentleman would ever have taken away that bottle. I think maybe Breckinridge's priorities were a little off that day, but the main thing is that at Durham Station, Sherman extended the same terms that Grant had extended to Lee, and the second major Confederate army has surrendered. On May 4th, a third capitulation took place when General Richard Taylor surrendered his 10,000 men to ERS Canby at Citronelle, Alabama. It's about 40 miles from Mobile. Same terms as Grant gave Lee. 6 days after that, on May 10th, Jefferson Davis was captured near Irwinville, Georgia, together with Mrs. Davis, Postmaster General John H. Reagan, and members of Davis's staff. There were rumors at the time in the North that Davis had been captured in women's clothing, that he'd tried to escape by dressing himself as a woman, and there were some cartoons in Northern publications of Davis with a dress on, running away from the Federals. It was a great image in the North and one that seemed to show Davis to be anything but the stalwart gentleman that people in the Confederacy claimed that he was. He'd in fact had a chill and had a shawl around his shoulders, and I suppose that's what the origin of this was, but the North made much of Jefferson Davis trying to dress as a woman and escape his fate. 2 years of prison awaited Davis, but he was never tried for treason, and he was allowed to resume a normal life after his release. One reason he wasn't put on trial, I think, is because he would have welcomed a trial. He would have wanted to argue the legality, the constitutionality of secession. And no one was really certain whether it was constitutional or not. It would depend on how a court decided. I think many in the North didn't want to face that prospect of that kind of a discussion over secession. The war had decided it. Keep Jefferson Davis in jail a while and then send him home. The last land fight of the war took place near Brownsville, Texas on May 12, 13th at a place called Palmito Ranch. It was a small Confederate victory. And the last major surrender came on May 26th at New Orleans when all forces in the Trans-Mississippi were surrendered. Same terms as Lee had gotten from Grant. The final shots of the war were not fired until June 28, 1865. When the Confederate commerce raider Shenandoah captured 11 United States whaling vessels in the Bering Sea. The crew of the Shenandoah found out from a newspaper on board one of the victims that the war had ended, and the Shenandoah would spend the next 4 months sailing to Liverpool, England, where it finally ended its career on November 4th, 1865. I think the liberality of all the surrender terms was astonishing when we take into account the scale and intensity of the war. Except for Henry Wirtz, the commandant at Andersonville, there are no executions for treason, none. There are a few people hanged in Kentucky and perhaps elsewhere on charges of murder, sort of related to the war, but no official hangings on the part of the United States except Henry Wirtz. Davis and a few others served some time in prison, but no one more than 2 years. Lee and the principal military leaders were allowed simply to go home. It was a very quiet end, I think, to this enormously, enormously costly war. Very unusual. We will leave here with the surrenders completed. Next time, We'll look at the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. We'll look at the cost of the war, and we will speculate a little bit about what factors were most important in bringing Northern victory.